appreciate Pastor Phil giving me this opportunity to share the word today. You know, he's been on a series of Clash of the Kingdoms, Kingdom of the World, Kingdom of God. And I want to speak this morning about us being kingdom, about kingdom citizenships. We are citizens in the kingdom of God. Amen. All right? So let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the people seated here today, Lord. I thank you for the people that are gathered together, not only here, but all across this city, all across this state, all across this country, all across the world, that are gathered together in your holy name today, Lord. And that you're speaking to them, Lord. You're doing things in their hearts, Lord, that need to be done, that need to be said, that need to be realized. And so, Father, I pray right now that according to your psalm, that you would make my tongue the pen of a ready writer, that it's your words that are spoken, that it's your words that are heard. Lord, that there is more of you and less of me in the midst of this. Thank you, Lord. Boy, those are bright lights. And I don't know who's in control of the heat and air. I know it was cool this morning, but it's not cool up here. If that could be adjusted a little bit, I would appreciate it. You know, as believers in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are part of God's kingdom. And the scriptures refer to it as the kingdom of God, as the kingdom of heaven, as the kingdom of the Son he loves. And we're going to be looking at some of those scriptures today. And it's inferred as the kingdom of light. And we've been singing about that this morning. When we choose to follow Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we become part of an eternal kingdom. Eternal kingdom. It's here and now. Yes, and it was here before the foundation of the world, and it will be here tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day, because it is a kingdom that is forever. A kingdom that is forever. Because the source of its power is not from here. The source of the kingdom that we're citizenship in is not from here. The source of the power is not in a government or an earth or anything earthly made. The source of the power is in the creator of it all. And we sing about that this morning. The source of the power is the Lord God Almighty, creator of all things. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the God, the three in one. That's the source of the power of the kingdom we live in. And that's the kingdom I want to share about today. The kingdom that as Christ followers, that we are citizens in the kingdom of God. So it's not an earthly kingdom. It is here and now in the world, yes. And what I mean by that, we're citizens, we have a citizenship. It's not in a piece of land. It's not in a country or a nation, or it's not in a man-made government that has a king or a queen or a monarch or a ruler or a dictator or a president. It's the spiritual realm of God that rules over all things. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms right there in the middle of your Bible, and I think it's going to be on screen too. Psalms 103, verse 19. Then we'll look at one from Psalms 145. Psalms 103, verse 19. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. That's where we get the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Psalms 145, we're going to look at verses 10 and 13. A couple more chapters over toward the end of the book of Psalms. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and your glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Say, everlasting kingdom. Amen. And your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all of his promises and loving toward all he has made. Now let's look at what Jesus said about his kingdom. We're going to turn to the book of Luke in the New Testament. About two-thirds through the Bible, you should get to the New Testament, and this is the third book of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke. We're going to look at chapter 17 and two verses there. If you haven't figured it out already, this word is going to be bathed in the Word of God this morning. Luke 17, verse 20 and 21. Once having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is within you." And we're going to talk a little more about that, about the kingdom of God is within us as believers. And then in John chapter 18, Jesus made this one statement when he was being questioned by Pilate. He was before Pilate, right before his execution and crucifixion. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." So it's not a piece of land. It's not a government. It's not a country. It's a spiritual kingdom. You know, we all belong somewhere in the natural. I'm a citizen of Union County. I don't live in Blairsville, so I can't say I'm a citizen of the city, but I'm a citizen of Union County, a citizen of Georgia, and a citizen of the United States of America. We all belong somewhere in the natural. I have friends who belong and are citizens of Russia. I have friends who belong and are citizens of India and Honduras and Mexico. But they're also citizens of the kingdom of God. You know, emperors and kings and queens and presidents and rulers have come and gone. And their kingdoms have eventually vanished or disappeared. But God's kingdom will never vanish or ever disappear. I want to look at some scriptures that Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter stated concerning the kingdom. From Colossians 1, verses 13 and 14. And this is some of what we sing. I appreciate the song list this morning. How good. Verse 13 of Colossians 1, on back further in the New Testament. "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin." He has brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Wow, isn't that amazing? We're part of an amazing and eternal kingdom. Because he loved his son. We belong somewhere. He brought us into the kingdom of the son he loved. Because he wants us to be a part of it. And since we have been brought into this kingdom of the son he loves. Now think about this. We are the living and breathing citizens of that kingdom. Look what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to read verse 9 and 10. "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God." We belong somewhere. "A people belonging to God, that you may declare the promise, the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We belong to God, and we belong to God, and we belong in His kingdom. Therefore, if we're in His kingdom, we are citizens of His kingdom, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. However you feel like you need to refer to it, the kingdom of light. I like that one. In a sense, and I like to put it this way, we have chosen, because God's given us a volition, the ability to make choices, a will to make choices for our life. We have chosen to immigrate from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Not migrate. Migrate denotes you're there for a while and you go back. No. We choose to immigrate into the kingdom of light. And we do that by accepting Jesus Christ in our hearts and confessing with our mouth that He is our Lord and our Savior. The most important journey process anyone will ever make is from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, and become citizens of the kingdom of God. Amen. A couple more scriptures from Paul and then Peter. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. One of Paul's epistles. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. See, we belong. We belong. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. It's a spiritual kingdom. And that indwelling, the kingdom is within, just as Jesus said, because of His Holy Spirit that He sent to indwell us, to be a part of us. And therefore, we're part of that spiritual kingdom because of His indwelling. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. As you come to Him, you're making that choice to come. As you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. It was some years ago, the Lord gave me a vision of He was showing me a wall. It was like a stone wall, and it's all different kind of shapes of stones. I mean, they were squares, they were rectangles, they were triangles, they were jagged stones in this wall of all different sizes and shapes. And they were, you know, it was a brick and mortar wall. It was put together by mortar. It was being held together. And He showed me that. I said, okay, Lord, that's, you know, a wall. He said, now I want you to close your eyes, Morris, and I want you, everywhere in your mind's eye, you see that mortar in between those rocks, in between the sharp points and the curved points and the triangle points and the square points. He said, make it red. I said, okay, Lord. He said, it's My blood that holds the living stones together. And it doesn't matter what kind of shape or size you may be up against. You ever been up against someone that kind of rubs you the wrong way? As believers, it's going to happen. But see, it's the blood that covers that joint, that covers that rubbing, that says, I love you anyway, brother, sister, whoever you are. You see, it's the blood that covers those jagged spots or the round parts or the square parts. It's his blood that covers us and makes us the living stones in the kingdom of God. We should never forget that we are citizens of his eternal kingdom. Here and now, at this moment, as believers, and as a matter of fact, the moment we accepted Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we became citizens in his kingdom. It's an automatic thing. Now, there are things that come with our citizenship, just like it does when we're citizens in a country, the USA, or there are privileges, there are responsibilities, there are promises, there are opportunities, and there's power and authority. And I want to go over those very quickly here. Privileges that we get to have as being kingdom citizens. First, eternal life. Isn't that good? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's a privilege and a promise in our kingdom. We get to have all kind of fruit in the kingdom. Pastor Phil has spoken on this recently. Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Nothing can stop that fruit from coming forth in your life because it's already there. It's in you. It's an indwelling that's already there. We just have to exercise ourselves in it and draw on all that fruit. And this one I love as a privilege in the kingdom of God from John chapter 1, verse 16. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. Blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing for being citizens in the kingdom of God. Now, I've known people say, I haven't felt too blessed lately. And I've said that myself. And God has reminded me, instead of thinking of maybe things that didn't go right in your day, look at what I did for you. Take time just to revisit the things I did for you today. And sometimes it was a simple thing as letting me, you may think it's silly, but I don't know, is letting me get through a green light before it turned red again. And I wouldn't have to sit there and wait and wait and wait. Those blessings are minute sometimes. We just don't recognize them. And there have been times when I got, the blessing was that I was at the red light. Because further down the road, between the intersection, an accident happened. And I feel like God kept me from that. It's a blessing. And I'm sure you can think of blessings that God has done in your life. Just the little things. Blessing after blessings that we've received. We have responsibilities in the kingdom of God. And of course, the two most greatest things that Jesus said, and he said a couple more, is the two commandments that he gives us. That in Matthew 22, verses 36 and 40. And he's being asked, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Those are responsibilities that we have in his kingdom. Later on in Matthew chapter 28 is another responsibility we have as being citizens in the kingdom of God. Verses 18 through 20, Matthew 28. A lot of us know this. Then Jesus came to them and said, "Authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Then there's a little one in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. When I was growing up in school, we actually could still have the Word of God. We said it every morning, particularly in third grade, the golden rule. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. That's our responsibility in the kingdom of God. And there are responsibilities for children and parents. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4 tells us that children are to obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. It's a responsibility, and then there's a promise that it may go well with you and you may enjoy good life on earth. And then for the parents, or the fathers in particular, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the instruction of the Lord. Responsibilities in the kingdom of God. I'm not going to, and there's promises, and I won't read all these for time's sake. But there's a promise in Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Matthew 6:33 tells us, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." That's a promise that we have in walking in the kingdom of God and being a part of the kingdom of God. This is a big one. Romans 10, 9 and 10. "That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved." That's entering into the kingdom right there, making that declaration. And it's a promise. It's a promise. You know, it's so simple to get into the kingdom. Confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. So what is that about? It's about someone standing and saying, "Jesus is Lord." It's so simple. Jesus is Lord over my life and my Savior. And Philippians 4 tells us not to be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Here's the promise. "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus." Privileges, responsibilities, promises, opportunities. Our kingdom citizenship transcends all earthly boundaries. There's nowhere on this planet or in this universe or any other universe. And now they're talking about living on Mars and going other places that we can go, that we are not a citizen of the kingdom of God. When Sarah and I were ministering in Russia and India and these other countries as missionaries, we were citizens here, but we were citizens in the kingdom of God no matter where we went. And when we met brothers and sisters in the Lord, we were citizens together. We were living stones working together in the kingdom of God for the sake of his kingdom. So therefore, we have opportunity and responsibility to share the truth and love of God wherever we go. Pastor Phil was on this verse a couple of weeks ago. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. We are therefore Christ ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Wherever we go, we're still part of the kingdom of God, and we're to share that with others. If we're in the kingdom of light, we carry the kingdom of light with us. Every step we take, we carry the gospel message. You know that part of the full armor of God is shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, so that everywhere we step, whether it's here in this church, it's in the city of Blairsville, it's in our travels, everywhere we step, we carry the kingdom of God with us. The peace of his gospel message. We carry it everywhere we go. So what about power and authority in the kingdom? The very moment we made a decision to step into the kingdom of God by confessing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, believe that he was crucified, dead, and buried, that his blood was shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins. And we confess that and we believe that. We arrive in the kingdom with power and authority. We don't always realize that, or if we realize, we don't tap into that power and authority. It's not my power and authority, it's his that he's given us. Look at this scripture from Paul in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 and 23. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. We've been given great power. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. We sing about that this morning. For above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and everything that can be given, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, that's us, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Later on in the second chapter of Ephesians, Paul writes this in verse 6. And we were singing this. I can't believe we were singing all this morning. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. See, we're there now. It's a spiritual kingdom. It's a spiritual seating that we're seated with God in the heavenly realm. With Christ Jesus. Listen to this scripture from Colossians of Paul. Chapter 1, verse 16. Let's start at verse 17. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning of the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. And then in chapter 2, Paul says this. See, all the fullness of the Godhead was in Christ. For in Christ all the fullness, and this is Colossians 2, 9 and 10. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you, that's me and that's you, every one of us, have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. It's not our power. It's not like Morris can go and just start doing stuff like a X-Man or whatever. It's his power, and it operates through his presence in us. Us doing his will because his indwelling is within us. I'm going to start closing this down. I see that I'm at a minus number on the clock, so. They told me last time, it's just a suggestion. Okay. So if the worship team wants to head back up. As believers, we should never forget that we belong and are citizens in his kingdom. It's here and now. It's in the future. It will be here forever. We will always be part of his kingdom. As citizens of heaven, we have heeded the call to come out of darkness into his marvelous light. As his citizens, transcends all earthly boundaries so that no matter where we are, we represent his kingdom. We represent the kingdom of light. Our thoughts, our words, our deeds, our actions should reflect the kingdom of light everywhere we go. When I go to Russia or India or Honduras, I have to show a passport to get in. But my passport in the kingdom of God, which is a spiritual passport, it is stamped with the blood of Jesus Christ from Calvary. So no matter where I'm at, I'm in his kingdom. It's stamped in the blood of Jesus Christ. Because he's the one that died for me, that I could come into the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the Son he loves. And all those things, privileges, responsibilities, promises, opportunities we have, power and authority are available 24/7. The Spirit doesn't leave at night and go to sleep from us. He's there 24/7. If there is anyone here today in this meeting, online, or in Hawassi, or maybe you're listening to it later in the week or something, and you're sensing the unction of the Holy Spirit drawing you into his marvelous light, drawing you into the kingdom of the Son he loves, drawing you into the kingdom of heaven, I say, come. Come this morning. Come and enter in. Now some may be saying to themselves, I am so unworthy. This man extended this invitation. He has no idea what I've done, where I've been, what's happened in my life. And the world, the clashes of the kingdom, the world sees me so differently than what you're presenting about the kingdom of God. This is what I say. The kingdom of God sees you completely differently than your past, what's happening in your life right now, where you've been, what you've done. The kingdom of God sees you so, so differently. You know, the world, can read in the book of Exodus, the world saw a sea and no way to escape for the Israelites. But the kingdom of God saw a dry roadway of escape and provided for it. That's what the kingdom of God did. The kingdom of God in the book of Ezekiel, I think it's chapter 37, saw a valley of dry bones. What the world saw a valley of dry bones. What the kingdom saw was a vast army rising up because the word of God was spoken into them. The world saw a shepherd tending sheep and keeping and protecting the flock from wild animals. What the kingdom of God saw was a man after his own heart to become the king of Israel and the lineage of the son he loves, Jesus. What the world saw was sweaty and uneducated fishermen. What the kingdom of God saw were fishers of men. What the world saw was a man named Saul persecuting Christians and standing by while they were stoning people and killing them for their beliefs. But what the kingdom of God saw was a man named Paul that would carry the gospel, the kingdom of light, the gospel message to the Gentiles. It's you and me. I'm so thankful for that. What the world saw in me, and some have heard my testimony, was an adulterer, a killer of unborn children, a reprobate of a person, totally unfit to be accepted in the kingdom of his marvelous light. But what the kingdom of God saw in me, a faithful husband, a father of children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. The kingdom of God saw me as a pastor and a teacher of his word and a missionary and an ambassador for his kingdom. And because I chose to be translated or to enter into the kingdom of darkness, from the kingdom of darkness into his marvelous light, by my belief, by my repentance of my sins, by me confessing that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And I became a citizen in his kingdom. And all that the kingdom saw about me came about. And I think there's more. The kingdom sees more about me than there's more that the kingdom has for me to do. So I implore you, do not listen to what and how the world sees you. If you're sitting here this morning beating yourself up, there's no shame or guilt or condemnation. The kingdom doesn't see that. The kingdom sees you whole and complete in the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So as the worship team plays this morning, we go into these last songs. I simply say, won't you come? Please, won't you come and enter into this marvelous kingdom we call the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of the Son he loves, the kingdom of light. Amen. The prayer teams will be on the side. You need to talk with them, talk through things. Say, I want to be a part of this kingdom. They are there. They are there. And they'll walk you through it. I'll be down over here. And amen.